The Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
The message is entitled, A Vision to Elevate and Magnify Christ. And that is our vision, and that is our purpose in literally over the next few years, by the grace of God. Just take a look at this auditorium here. Want to double the size of this building in the next few years. That's what it really amounts to. Now, the auditorium itself will not double. It will greatly expand, but when you consider all of the square footage on these wings, you're doubling the largest building on the campus in the next few years. And so we're doing that for the purpose of elevating and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to stand with me, and ushers, you just get folks on in here, and you're doing a great job, and bring folks right in if you can at this time, and you guys come on in and get your seat if you can. And I know we're just fast-tracking a little bit, but we want to try to stay right on a good pace, and I'm sure glad to welcome you tonight to Sunday night at Lancaster Baptist Church. Nehemiah chapter 1 is our text. And in the handout you received, you'll have the outline. And so if you want to have that handy, we'll start preaching through that in just a few minutes. And then you'll have the brochure that I'll refer to. Some of it will be on the PowerPoint as well. Nehemiah chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let us pray. Father, I ask tonight that you would help us as a result of this time together, and through the fellowships in the homes tonight, help us to strengthen our hands for a good work. Help us to prepare. Prepare our hearts first, Jesus, and then use our lives so that others may see that your truth is still marching on, and that we may elevate and magnify your name again and in a greater way here in the Antelope Valley. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
When Terry and I first came to the Antelope Valley, there were a lot of challenges waiting for us. Our church was in a tremendous amount of debt. The buildings were in disrepair. But one thing we knew, God wanted us to reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, since that time, the Lord has raised up a wonderful church family. And we're so thankful today for what He has done. But one of my great concerns is that we would become comfortable, that we would get self-satisfied with all of our blessings in Christ, with the wonderful blessings of this campus, that we would forget there are still families like ours and people like us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm excited to elevate and magnify His name once again this year as we construct this West Wing Tower for His glory. There are tens of thousands of children in the Antelope Valley growing up in a home without a dad. They need to know there is a heavenly Father that cares for them and has a plan for their life. There are so many single moms doing their very best to raise their children for the Lord, but they need a church home that's supporting them and their children as they develop for Christ. Even families where mom and dad are still together have such stressful and busy schedules. And as these families raise their children and teenagers, they need the Sunday schools and youth groups of the Lancaster Baptist Church. I think of our single adults. No one really knows the battles they face every day just to stand for Jesus. They need a place that says to them, "Keep standing." Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The answer to every problem for every person in the Antelope Valley is Jesus. Some people might say that's an oversimplification, but I truly believe that Jesus is the answer for every man's soul. Right here on this campus, we have seen thousands of people partaking of the water of life, and God has radically changed their lives forever. Many of those people who have been saved are now serving in children's Sunday school, helping children to ride a bus to the church. They're serving as ushers and nursery workers and teaching in convalescent homes. Wherever there are needs, wherever people need to know the gospel, Lancaster Baptist Church is reaching out with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think this expansion is about wider hallways and more nurseries, you're missing the point. This is about connecting our community to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we elevate and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this community, God will be glorified. That's why we're talking about expansion one more time, to elevate and magnify His name, to glorify our God.
In the year 586 BC, the Bible records that the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem. As they invaded Jerusalem, the city was devastated, many lives were lost, and the walls around Jerusalem were utterly destroyed. The Bible records that about 100 years after that tragic event, that a small remnant returned to Jerusalem. They were led by a man named Ezra, and their primary task was to rebuild the temple. They wanted a place where they could elevate and magnify God. And so by faith, they began constructing this temple. The problem that we see, however, in the scriptures is that although they were there and some construction was underway, the city walls had been torn down. And because of that, the city was still in reproach. And the people that wanted to come and worship were very vulnerable. In short, there were great dangers in Jerusalem. Nehemiah, upon hearing that news, immediately had a great burden and vision from the Lord. He determined that he would do all he could to restore the walls around Jerusalem and to bring revival to the people of Jerusalem and to join with Ezra in elevating and magnifying the name of Jehovah God. And so it was that God burdened a man, and that man shared his burden with some people, and God provided their every need, and in 52 days, the wall was completely restored around Jerusalem. Our vision tonight, simply stated, is to elevate and magnify the name of Jesus Christ in the Antelope Valley and in the regions beyond. We want everybody to have an opportunity to see Him high and lifted up. And I can think of no greater way physically than by asking you tonight to join together in prayer with me for the next month in raising up the tallest single structure on this campus. And at the very height of that structure, the cross of Jesus Christ, as a way simply to say that we exist here to elevate and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ at Lancaster Baptist Church. So that people as far away as the West Hills of this valley, as they look across the valley, will see on this side of town, there is a church standing up tall, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, how do we get it all done? How do you take a group of common people like you and me on the backside of a desert in the middle of a recession and attack such a giant project to the glory of God? How does that get done? Well, I want you to see with me tonight a blueprint. I want you to see with me tonight what God did in ages past, because I believe if God did it for Nehemiah, that God can do it for us as well. And I want you to notice, if you would, with me tonight, how this vision became more than one man's thought, how it became more than a one generation dream, how this was shared across generations, and how God took this vision and allowed it to become a reality. Tonight in your outline, you'll notice the vision started. Where did the vision start anyways? I believe it started in the heart of this man, Nehemiah. The Bible says in verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." I want you to see with me tonight that this vision for the wall of Jerusalem started in a broken heart. It started in the heart of someone that was willing to feel the pain of someone else. It started in the heart of someone that realized that the truth was one generation away from extinction unless they protected that temple, unless they lifted up the name of God. William Booth, the founder of the Great Salvation Army, said, "God loves with a great love a man whose heart is bursting with a passion for the impossible." Nehemiah was a man whose heart was bursting with a passion for the impossible. And so this vision started with a broken heart. And this vision started with a burdened heart. We live in a day when someone is being mugged and maybe held up at gunpoint on the major cities, streets of America, and people just walk by. We live in a day when just not far from here, not too far from here tonight, there are moms in their homes wondering how to feed their families and their teenagers going out and about joining gangs and taking drugs. And not far from here in the convalescent homes are the elderly who are never visited by a relative. And not far from here tonight are homes on the brink of destruction. And I believe that somewhere there ought to be a people who would say, "God, start the vision in my heart, burden my heart for people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ." I say to you tonight, the vision started in the heart of someone who truly felt a burden from the Lord. But I want you to know, it's one thing to feel that vision. It's one thing to sense and feel that burden. It is another thing to state that vision or to share that vision. And I want you to see that's exactly what Nehemiah did. After he prayed and sought God, and after he spent time repenting of his sin and for the sin of Israel, the Bible says he requested of the king that he was working for now in Babylon. He requested that he could make his way back to Jerusalem, some 700 miles away. And there he joined together with a group of people, and he began to state to them what God had been putting upon his heart. Notice, if you would, in chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." I see the vision was stated as this man Nehemiah had compassion for a broken city. He saw the city in shambles. He saw the spiritual need. He saw the physical need. And he stated to the people that they needed to take a look and see this need as well. Charles Spurgeon said, "Love your fellow man and cry about them if you cannot bring them to Christ. If you cannot save them, you can weep over them. If you cannot give them a drop of cold water in hell, you can give them your heart's tears while they are still on this earth." And so it was that Nehemiah shared his vision. He stated his vision with compassion for a broken city. But he also stated this vision with confidence in the hand of God. He had a broken heart for what he saw, but he believed that God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he could ask or think. I want you to see that confidence in verse 18. And I think you'll see it leaping off the pages of your Bible. In verse 18 of chapter 2, Nehemiah says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Nehemiah was a true patriot who was dreaming for the future and who was motivated by the values of the past, believing that what had taken place in prior days should take place again by the hand and by the power of God. He was not trying to duplicate the past, for that was impossible, but rather he was praying that by the grace of God they would have a God-filled future and a future that glorified God. I want you to recognize with me tonight that churches in this hour are either risk-taking, caretaking, or undertaking. Churches today are either risk-taking, caretaking, or undertaking. By the grace of God, this church is not dying, and we praise God for so many who are saved and baptized today. By the grace of God, we're not here to announce a new maintenance plan for how we can just kind of maintain the status quo and keep all the buildings just right. We are here to announce tonight with Jesus Christ that He said He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we are stating tonight that we're stepping out by faith and trusting God and believing that God is able, and we have great confidence in God as the vision is stated tonight. The vision is stated clearly in the books that you have in your hands tonight. And if you want to just take a moment and see some of those phase one features of what we're asking God to do, you'll notice in phase one that we're asking the Lord to provide as we expand the guest lobby of this church and as we make space to welcome many, many visitors who come from all over the Antelope Valley and in some cases from all around the world. And we're thankful that we'll have that guest lobby space available through this project. Secondly, we're adding several spacious nurseries, and how I thank God for the more than 200 volunteers who work in our nurseries every single week. And they would tell you that these nurseries are filled to overflowing, and some of them have just really frankly inadequate space. And we're doing all that we can. And thank God for the sweet nursery workers who serve and who serve without a complaint and just do their best with what they have. But we're saying that God is able to provide the nursery space and then the enlarged restrooms. And this is such a need on this campus and around this building, especially in the wraparound hallways and hallways where our music ministry will be able to more readily come into the auditorium and where we'll be able to have the functioning type of hallways around this building that are needed. And then, of course, additional classrooms as well. And then not only these additional classrooms, but you'll see the steel structure going up on the sides of this building, which will allow us to bring the balcony all the way around and down to the front. And this is something that will be accomplished as we begin phase two of this expansion, Lord willing, in the next year or two as well, on the east wing expansion, and then 1,000 seats added to this auditorium to the glory of God. I don't know if that's enough faith, frankly. You say, Pastor, this is a big project. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if it's big enough. But we're going to trust God and go ahead and get this done and have confidence in the God that we serve, as Nehemiah did when he said, hey, I believe God's hand is in this and I believe God is able to do this. And so the vision started in the heart of a compassionate, brokenhearted man. The vision was stated and with confidence in the mighty hand of God. And then I want you to know, thirdly, the vision was sustained. God Himself will sustain the vision. And I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter 2 and verse 19, what the Bible says concerning the sustaining of the vision. It says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Now you look right here. If you're a new member, a newer Christian, if there's ever a season when you pray extra for your pastor, if there's ever a season where you say, Lord, I don't know what it's like to pastor or what it would feel like, but I want to pray a little extra for the pastor, it's during a building program. Because the devil doesn't want this church to build an outhouse, much less a $3 million highway to heaven. And whenever there's a man of God and a people of God moving forward in the work of God, there comes what you see here in verse 19. Some who laughed to scorn and some who despise. And they'll despise you and say, what are you a part of? And what's that pastor building again over there? And what's going on? And that's exactly what Nehemiah faced. And they laughed him to scorn and despised him. And notice they said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Now, someone might say, Pastor Chappell, how can a vision like this be sustained in a time like this? How can a vision like this be sustained in an economy like this, or when the critics are laughing and people are saying it can't be done? And if you get nothing else, I want you to get what I have to say in the next 5 minutes, because I want to tell you why I believe this vision will be sustained. I want to tell you tonight why we are building this building. I want you to understand, before you get involved, why we need to get involved. And I want you to know it's something that's been very well prayed over and developed in my heart, and I want to share that with you tonight. There are 8 vision-sustaining truths in this outline, and I want you to see them with me and review them with me tonight. The first reason tonight that I believe God will sustain the vision is because we are placing the priority on the local New Testament Baptist church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I believe that God has chosen the church to be his vehicle for changing communities in the day in which we live. Now you say, well, that's very basic, but a year or so ago, there were some things going through my heart and some things that I've prayed about over the last few years. And frankly, one of the challenges for me as pastor of this growing ministry is that there's competing growth in so many ministries of this church. The bus ministry is growing, and the publications ministry is growing, and the college ministry is growing, and the church is growing. And there was something in my heart as I wrestled with God, Lord, should we build that student commons first? Should we get those classrooms out there and that gym going? And this week we'll be hosting the NAACCA tournament here in our little high school gymnasium, major Bible colleges and secular colleges as well, coming from across the West to play in our little high school gym. And we can't even announce the games for our church family, and there's a need for more social space. We can't have a social function where we get everybody in, maybe to have some pie or something. It's just not feasible over in the current facility. And I wrestled with the Lord, and as I thought about it, I thought, you know, that'll help the college, and that'll help the school, and there'll be some help for the church. But God put on my heart definitively, and I hope you'll try to capture this, that God put on my heart to do everything in my power to keep the Lancaster Baptist Church, I mean this local church, I mean this group of people that you're sitting with tonight, God put on my heart to do everything we can to keep at the foundational level this church growing strong and mighty and doing all that we can to keep the church strong. And I'm fully convinced in my heart tonight as I stand here telling you why God will sustain this, because I believe if we'll keep winning souls and if we'll keep filling this building and if we'll keep preaching Christ without compromise and if we'll keep singing songs of praise and worship that are godly and edifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe tonight if we'll keep the church strong, he'll build that gym and he'll build the printing and publications building and he'll build the bus barn and the rest of it will take place. But there's a central happening place on this campus and you happen to be seated in it right now tonight. And I'm saying to you tonight that preaching is the engine that pulls the whole train. And so we're going to put our focus the next few years on expanding the preaching station. And this is the center and the heartbeat of the local church. And I believe tonight God will sustain the vision because we're keeping the priority right on the preaching of the Word of God in the local New Testament church. There's a second reason I believe God will sustain this. The second reason is because of the prayer that has preceded this project. Those of you who've allowed me the privilege of pastoring here, and those of you whom I've had the privilege of pastoring for many years, you know that I don't like to enter something like this without prayer. I mean, I've prayed a long time before that shovel went in the ground. And I believe tonight that what we're doing is in part happening because the Lord is giving liberty and the Lord is giving leading. This is not just to build another piece of the pie or add just another building to the great campus or just to vaunt up ourselves or just to be able to say, look at the architecture. This has been prayed over and this is being done because we believe the Lord is leading. There's a third reason I believe this vision must be sustained and will be sustained. And I put it in print for you tonight. And that third reason is simply stated. There are people who need Jesus tonight. People who need to know how to get saved. People who need to have a welcome place where they can be greeted and be mapped out as to where their children go and maybe have a cup of coffee and know where the restrooms are and have restrooms big enough to facilitate and an auditorium big enough to facilitate. I'm saying tonight we're doing this because people still need the Lord just like they did 25 years ago, just like they did when we built the North Auditorium. People need the Lord. There's a fourth reason tonight. Just in case you're wondering, why are we doing this building? What's it all about? I want you to see the eight reasons tonight. And the fourth reason is simply stated, we need space for this ministry. The provision of space for this ministry. I know tonight's the home fellowship night, but frankly, folks, every Sunday night lately, we've been setting up chairs in this choir loft and setting students here, setting up chairs back in the back and seating folks there and doing everything we can just to kind of get everybody in. On Sunday morning, the auditorium's filling up, the Spanish department filling this intersection on Sunday mornings now as well, and the growth is obvious, and I believe tonight that we need to provide space and that we've hit that 80% rule on Sunday night. It's time to move on now and make some more room for the people of God to worship Jesus Christ. And then there's a fifth reason. The fifth reason that God has impressed on my heart, and I want you to see it with me, is because Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." Jesus gave us a principle in His Word. He said, until I come, I want you to settle in and do business. That's what it means. I want you to live like I could come back tomorrow, but I want you to work like it could be a long time. And I want you to settle in and occupy. I want you to build, He's saying, until I come. I want you to put your hand to the plow and don't look back. I want you to keep on keeping on. Some of you say, well, Pastor, our hand's been to the plow a long time. I've given in a lot of these different banquets and a lot of these different opportunities to give, and we've had a part in it. By the way, thank God for that, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's be thankful to the Lord tonight. There's a sixth reason that I think everybody in this room ought to have part in this upcoming March opportunity. The sixth reason stated in black and white tonight is simply the promise of sowing and reaping. The promise of sowing and reaping. I know this may sound dramatic to someone, but I will state it from the depth of my heart. Folks, we can't afford to not be involved in this project. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And I want to challenge you tonight in this matter that God has given us a promise that if we'll give, He'll bless. And I want to challenge each and every one of you to begin praying, Lord, help me to know how I can have a part. What can I do? How can I save? What material thing can I part with? What way can I wisely invest? How can I have a part? And I want to say tonight that as we have that spirit, God says, I'm going to bless you in the law of sowing and reaping. And I know that many of you, like me, when you got your giving statements a few weeks ago, you looked at that and you said, glory to God, we gave more last year than we've ever given in our lives before. And I want you to understand something, that as we give, God says, I'm going to bless and I'm going to help you in the future to be able to give. That's just the God that we serve. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. And then I want you to see the seventh reason tonight. The seventh reason that I believe God will sustain this vision is because of the projection of God's power that goes out to our community. I believe with all my heart, in a day when people expect nothing from Bible-believing Christianity, in a day when we're being told that churches like this are dying on the vine, in a day when we're told you better not try very much, just be very conservative, just put it in neutral, just hold on until the rapture. I think when some unsaved fella's driving out to Edwards and goes by and sees this building being built again, I think when some deputy's doing his rounds and sees a building being built again, I think when our city fathers and city engineers are sitting down in plan desk and they're twiddling their thumbs and their pencils right now in this economy, and some Baptists walk in and say, we're going to go ahead and build 18,000 square feet to the glory of God, we need you to do some plan check on this. I just happen to believe when that happens that my God gets glorified out of a project like that. And I believe that God wants to sustain people who want Him to receive glory in the midst of these times. And then I want you to see finally an eighth reason. I want you to see that there is a promise that God blesses faith. And I believe tonight we need to see this vision sustained because God will sustain a people who are a people of faith. You say, why are we doing this? And someone might ask you that. And I want you to be an informed member tonight. Why are we building this building? There's eight reasons right there. I want you to read them with me real quickly. The eight sustaining truths. Would you share them with me and read them with me out loud? Number one, the priority. Number two, the prayer preceding the project. Number three, the people who need Jesus. Number four, the provision of space for ministry. Number five, the principle of occupy until Jesus comes. Number six, the promise of sowing and reaping. Number seven, the projection of God's power to our community. And number eight, the promise that God blesses faith. And so it is. Nehemiah had a vision starting in his heart. Nehemiah stated that vision to the leaders of his day. Nehemiah had the vision sustained by faith in his God. And then I want you to see fourthly tonight, the vision supported. The vision supported. Now would you look at chapter 2, please, and verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words which he had spoken unto me. And they said, who's the they, Pastor? That's everybody that's not standing in this pulpit right now. They said, let us rise up and build. Now that's fine. And Baptists say a lot of stuff. Go get them, Pastor. Go get them, Tiger. We're on your side. Now that's better than being a Sanballat and Tobiah. I thank God for that spirit. But they didn't just say that. It says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. I want you to notice that the vision was supported by an expressive people. People who said, let's do it. We can't let Jerusalem lie in waste. There's a spiritual need today. Let's do it to the glory of God. But then they not only were expressive in that way, but they were supported, and they were supportive, and they were equipped. And I want you to notice, they said, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. I want to say tonight two quick things. Number one, I want to give God the glory for everything he's ever done on this campus. To God be the glory, great things he has done. If I never pastored another day in my life, I am of all pastors most blessed to have pastored here for a quarter of a century, you people in this place. To God be the glory. But I want to say secondly, I thank God for members of this church who year after year after year have given their tithe, have supported missionaries, and have by faith said, I want to do something to get these buildings up. And tonight I'm so thankful to the Lord for people who have said, let's rise up and build. And for people who have strengthened their hands and prepared. I'll not take the time to develop that. But let me tell you, it wasn't just weightlifting he was talking about. They prepared their schedules for time off. They prepared permission. They prepared finances. They prepared tools. They prepared economically. They brought supplies. They put their whole life into getting that wall built up. You see, they were people who were very expressive verbally, but they were people who were very much equipping themselves for the work that God had called them to do. And I thank God tonight, and I give him the glory. And I thank the Lord, and I give you so much credit for yielding to the Holy Spirit. Frankly, I'm sure there would be perhaps easier places where you could go maybe one service a week and have a little praise band and a little sermonette and maybe not have to build so many buildings. But I'm thankful for people tonight who are here expressive and who are here equipping themselves for the work that God's called them to do. A year ago tonight, I spent the week laying in a hotel room and changing some medicines and trying to figure out what was going on in my life and with my body. And my wife was with me as I just could not sleep through the nights, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. I remember on the first Sunday I was away from our church family, it was during the same season here. I remember going to a little church, and I remember just sitting in that church hearing a young man, maybe in his 20s, preach, maybe 15 people there. And I remember as he preached, and Terry will remember this, I don't know why, it was just difficult for me. I had come through 25 years of bearing some burdens and building some buildings and just a lot of different things. And I heard that young man preach, and he ministered to my heart, but I remember thinking, I hope I can do that again. And I remember laying on the floor of that hotel. I didn't want to wake my wife at night. And I remember praying, God, I want to preach again. And I wondered. I felt like I couldn't. And I mean to tell you this, the last thing I wanted to do is build a building. I mean, I remember the first Sunday back, Palm Sunday. I remember some men telling me, now, if you can't preach all the sermons, it's okay. If you just can preach one, have the staff preach then. And I remember begging God that Saturday night of Palm Sunday, God, I want to be the pastor. I need you to help me preach. And I'll never forget going home that night and saying, Lord, thank you for letting me preach. I don't take a Sunday for granted now. Every day is a gift from God, every day to preach. But I got to tell you, laying there that week or two and just trying to work through some things and with my body and my heart, my mind, and just trying to figure out some things. If you would have told me tonight that I'd be saying, let's build a building, maybe the biggest project I could have dreamed up back then would be, let's paint a wall. And I'm so glad for a church that has been expressive this year. And I'm not saying this tonight for self-pity, but I just state the fact. I can't get that done by myself. Nehemiah couldn't. And I can guarantee you, I'll stand at the front of this just like at the front of a ship, and I'll take the headwaters. Every time you have these things, you'll find people dropping out of church without even saying so much as goodbye. I already know what's going on in the economy. I already know all the bad news. It's nice when someone says a prayer or says a good word or says what the people said. Let's build it. Let's strengthen our hands. And I don't know how to express it to you tonight, but I can tell you this. My wife and I, we're all in this thing. Now, I want you to know, by the grace of God, we'll give the largest offering we've ever given next month. And I want you to know, by the grace of God, I'll do everything I can, hopefully a little smarter than in years past. Maybe I'll figure out a way to have more of God's power and get a little more rest in between. But my passion for what God's doing here is no less than it was 25 years ago. And I just thank God tonight for those of you who have, and those of you that are new, I'm asking you tonight to join with us and join together, because we believe that teamwork makes the dream work. And we believe that God wants to fill us with His Spirit and help us to get involved. And I want to ask you tonight to plan appropriately and plan to be a part. I want you to look inside this brochure tonight, and I want you just to see a little bit about the offering coming up on March 25th. There's three ways that you can give, and it's, I think, right there on about page 6. And I want you to begin praying. First of all, I want you to see that on March the 25th, we'll have an opportunity to give a cash offering. And that cash offering, as I said, for us, we're praying to give more that day than we've ever given in our lives. And you say, well, that's probably easy for you. Friend, it's never easy to do that. It's only by the grace of God that that can happen. But we're praying that we'll see a great victory on that day. And then that day, we also fill out a commitment card. And we do our best to have a great offering that day, a miraculous offering. But then we fill out a card, and we can give something each week or each month or one time over the next 12 months. But that night, while the preacher's preaching, we'll do a quick count of the cash and the commitments. And on March the 25th, I'll let you know right where we are. Now, this is a $3 million project, so I'll let you know right where we are on the project that night. And our goal is that before we get this one going, we want this one to be completely paid for or very nearly paid for. We do recognize the economy. And we do have a line of credit that'll keep us going in the midst of the waiting maybe for some commitment lag. But we want to be wise, but we also want to have great faith in God. Amen. And some people may want to give through deferred giving, through their will or trust. And some people give by having a broker contact our stewardship office and by being creative and giving certain things over the past years. And I just want to encourage you tonight to begin thinking of how you can have a part, how you can be a part of what God is doing. You'll receive on March 25th this commitment card. And it simply says, my 12-month building fund commitment. And it says a recurring offering per week or per month or maybe one time. And then for many of our members, some here tonight and some that were here this morning, I'm going to ask them if they haven't started by then to take the 90-day tithing challenge. Folks, let me just be frank with you. Every child of God should honor God every week with the first fruits of the increase. Amen. And I think that's something that every Christian needs to just get alone with God and read Malachi 3 and just realize that if you're going to be a Christian, let's get all in and do it God's way. And oh, what a tremendous challenge and what a tremendous opportunity. I read the book of Nehemiah. I see a vision starting in a broken heart. I hear a vision stated by a man who wants to make a difference. I see a vision sustained because of faith and because of the principles of God's word. I see a vision supported by people who said, let us rise up and build, and they strengthen their hands for the good work. And then I want you to see finally with me tonight the vision seen. The vision seen. Would you turn, please, to Nehemiah 6? Nehemiah 6 and verse 15. You got to hear these beautiful words. Before we go on and have a little meal and a prayer time with friends tonight, you just got to see what God can do. And I want you to see here in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, so the wall was finished. Hey, say that with me. So the wall... How many of you will agree with me that when we cut the ribbon and walk through those doors, that's going to be a hallelujah day when the vision is seen? Amen. It's going to be an even better day when the other side's done and this auditorium will seat 1,000 more people. But I like those words. So the wall was finished. I don't know about you, I like starting things, but I really like finishing things. The wall was finished. This is the part I don't like. In the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. That always depresses me. They didn't have the fire department, the planning department, the engineering department. They didn't have plan check. All they had was Nehemiah cracking the whip, and they got her done in 52 days. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things. And by the way, they exist. I mean, you're not going to go work with Sunday school kids tomorrow, most of you. Most of you aren't going to quote the 23rd Psalm at lunch with all your... You're not going to hold hands with all your coworkers tomorrow. Most of your bosses aren't going to say, let's just pause right now before we work on this airplane to pray for the folks over at Lancaster Baptist Church. And so when the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was, say these words with me, wrought of our God. Say it again. When this project is complete, and people drive by it and walk through it, they are going to perceive that this was wrought of our God. That's the God that we serve. I see the completion of the wall, and I see the comprehension of the wicked. They realize that what took place was because of the great and mighty God of Nehemiah. And I say to you that whatever takes place in the completion of these projects and the cutting of the ribbon, in the opening of these buildings, I believe tonight that there will be people in this community who will say, you know, I don't exactly agree with them. I don't believe like they believe, but I mean, God's just doing something over there for them. And may I say to you tonight that even as in Nehemiah's day, people are still being carried away by sin. Just as he was carried away to Babylon, people tonight are being carried away with lust and ignorance and wickedness and ungodliness and unkindness and covetousness and all different types of sin pulling people away. And may I say to you tonight that walls are still being destroyed. Do you understand that tonight? Do you understand the commandments are being taken off the walls of our public places? Do you understand tonight that the moral walls of this country are being kicked over and knocked down, and that systematically the ACLU and others are running around doing all they can to keep the name of Jesus Christ down, down, down. They want it covered. They don't want Jesus mentioned. You can mention Allah or Buddha, but just don't mention Jesus. And it just seems like everywhere that name is not tolerated. But there ought to be some churches, and I don't know what's going on in other places, but I know that in this place we ought to have this desire that we want to elevate and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy. What Nehemiah did, what those people did, sometimes they were putting cement in the bricks while they had a sword in the other hand watching out for the enemy. They were being laughed to scorn through the entire process. But may I remind you tonight, as we represent this Laodicean comfort-driven Christian age, that real great works for God have never been easy. We may have to apologize to some of the Chinese Christians and the Iraqi Christians. I think when we see them and hear the stories of their torture, we're going to say, boy, I did a big one because I gave a big offering once, and they're going to tell us about prison and the loss of loved ones. Some of you ought to watch the story this week of Pastor Yosef Nadarkhani. Pastor Nadarkhani is a pastor of a congregation of 400 born-again believers in Iran. According to Amnesty International, Nadarkhani was sentenced to death for apostasy last September based on the religious writings of the Iranian clerics, including the Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Pastor Nadarkhani is a 32-year-old man. He has a beautiful wife and children. He faithfully preached the word of God. He maintained he never was a Muslim as an adult. But they are saying that he must recant his Christian faith and turn Muslim. And if this man does not recant, if this man does not turn his back on Jesus, this Thursday he'll be beheaded in Tehran. He was asked to repent. Nadarkhani stated, repent means to return. What should I return to? To the blasphemy that I had before my faith in Christ? I cannot, I will not. And again, we say amen. But he's doing more than saying, let's build. Amen. His faith is requiring at this moment a level of sacrifice. My friends, tonight, can we sacrifice for the purpose of elevating and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you say tonight, Lord, put the burden of Nehemiah in my heart. Lord, help me that I might go forward by faith and prepare. And that, Lord, it won't just be a vision that was stated by the pastor or a vision that was shared by the people, but God, that it will become a vision that is seen because you touched my life individually and you did something for our family so that we could have a part. And I ask you tonight to share in the vision to elevate and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.